Our first reading is from Psalms 145, starting in verse number 1. I will extol you, my God, my King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fail and raise up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all unexpectedly to you, and you give them their food in due season, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans 7, beginning at verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, deliver me from this body of death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May please be seated. Invite you to please bow your heads in prayer with me. Precious Lord, Thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is comforting. Your word is also convicting. Help us receive your word with obedient hearts. And help us, O Lord, to grow in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start off with something funny. It was a story about a preacher who had bad teeth. So one day he went to a dentist and he had them removed. He usually preached about 25 minutes on a Sunday, but that particular Sunday he wasn't able to speak for more than 5 minutes because his dentures hurt so bad. However, the following week he wanted to make up, so he surprised the congregation by speaking for more than an hour. Astonished, your preachers love to talk. Astonished, someone asked, "I thought your mouth hurt so bad, so how come you spoke for an hour?" He said, "By accident, I put on my wife's dentures and I couldn't stop talking." I'm not wearing dentures, by the way. Don't have to worry. But this morning I want to talk. And I want to talk to you about the trials of life. I want to talk to you about sorrows. I want to talk to you about burdens. I want to talk to you about suffering. I want to talk to you about pain. I want to talk to sickness. Is there anybody here who has those kind of problems? Nobody. Might as well go home. We all have them. And so to focus on that, I want to use just two verses this morning from verse 28 and 30 of our gospel reading, which says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I always wondered how the Lord could say that, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." After taking upon himself the sins of the whole world, he's able to say, "Give me some more. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Life happens. And I'm sure you'll all agree with me that it is seldom smooth and problem-free. Times of peace and calm are always intertwined with trouble and sorrow, disappointments, frustration, setbacks. And sometimes it's more bad than good, making it difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I wonder if I'm speaking to someone here this morning. You've lost hope or losing hope. No one seems to care. The Lord doesn't even seem to want to hear. You wear a smile on your face, but there's a raging storm within you. Friend, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope, because God is still on the throne and his grace is sufficient for you. He's alive and well. And in case you have forgotten, I want to remind you just one more time that the Lord loves you. He loves you more than you can think or imagine. His love for you is higher than the mountains and deeper than the sea. And scripture tells us that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard the wonderful things that God has in store for those who love him. You and I are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So cheer up. It will be all fine. No one likes hardships. I don't either. And it would be great if the Lord just waved a wand and took away all our sorrows, all our trials, all our tears, all our pains, all our adversity, every headache. But that's not the gospel. That's not what the gospel teaches. What does it say? Jesus himself said, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. You will have sorrows, you will have trials, but be of good comfort because I have overcome the world. So what am I saying? I am saying problems will come, and I say this lovingly, if it hasn't come to you, it's on its way. It's coming. But know this, my friends. Your problems may be big, but you have a bigger God. He may not take away all of your problems instantly, but he will give you the strength to carry them. He will give you the strength to endure. And when it gets so bad, like the story of the footprints in the sand, he will pick you up and carry you. He will pick you up and he will carry you. Jesus wants to get involved in your life. Maybe you've been so busy, but the Lord wants to get involved in your life. And then he invites you to bring to him your burdens. And it's an invitation. It's a heartfelt invitation coming from the heart of God. And the invitation comes to us with those words. Come. Come unto me. Notice that this invitation, it is to all people, every color, every race, every age, rich or poor, young or old, church member or no church member, and even to those who might have turned their backs on him. And so that includes every one of us here this morning. I don't know what your burdens are, my friends, but the Lord invites you to give all of them to him. The Christian life is a life of suffering. Some people think, and maybe you've heard people say, oh, once you give yourself over to the Lord, everything is going to be fine. That's not the gospel. The Christian life is a life of suffering. It was modeled to us by Christ himself. He did not go into glory without walking to Golgotha. So what am I saying? Each one of us will also have to carry a cross. Some may be heavier than others, but the good news is that the Lord wants to carry that cross with you. And so you have a choice this morning. You can continue fighting this battle alone, or you can come to him with all of the broken pieces and leave it in his wounded hands. You know those nail-pierced hands? You can place it in those hands. It's the best place you can put them. Key is, once you leave it there, don't go back to pick it up. Oh, my back. Oh, my knee. Oh, my husband. Oh, my wife. A lot of people have difficulty accepting that invitation because they have made grief and sorrow their best friend. You know it will help you to let go, but you still hold on, and imagine Satan keeps beating his drums, wanting you to believe somehow that the Lord doesn't care, he cannot hear, and he is incapable of solving your problems. Is that true? Peter said, cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Never said cast some of them. Cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. And then when you come, the Lord makes you a promise. What is that promise? The promise is, I will give you rest. Not I may give you rest. I could give you rest. If you're a good person, you go to church, you give your tithes. No. Let me ask you, my friends, how many of you are longing for some rest? How many of you are tired of being tired? A nice pillow and a good night's sleep will give you some rest. But that's not the rest that the Lord is talking about. Maybe even that liquid spirit, not the Holy Spirit, may give you some rest. But the Lord is talking about rest from your labor, rest from your sorrow, rest from your emotional pain, peace of mind, and nobody can give you that. The world cannot give you that. You can't buy it for money. The Lord who loves you, who has you in the palm of your hand, can give you all of that. Jesus is not lacking in compassion for us, in case you're wondering. He clearly gets what life is about. And how does he know? He came down from heaven, incarnate, to live among us. To experience what you've experienced and what I've experienced, he knows firsthand what it is to be human. Where you are now, he has already been. He knows what it means to thirst. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it's to be naked. He knows what it is to be despised. He knows what it is to have enemies. He knows what it is to be deserted. Nothing escapes his attention. Jesus is essentially saying to you and me, friend, I don't want you to try to figure this out by yourself. I know you will fail. I want to take this journey with you. I want to carry your burden for you. And I want you to know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can take that statement to the bank. How many of you can testify that the Lord has never left you nor forsaken you? Yes, he's a good God. Troubles and trials may come, but he will see you through it all. He sticks to you closer than a friend. But just as Jesus promises us rest in him, he also challenges us to step up to the plate. And perhaps you're asking, what is that? What is it? The challenge is, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, this is all like farming vocabulary. The kind of conversation you have with people who are out in the country, and in them days, that's how it was. So he says, take your yoke upon me and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. So instead of a pillow for rest, Jesus is giving us a yoke. And you must already know this, that a yoke is a piece of curved wood that's put on the neck of an ox or an ass or a donkey to plow a field. And without a yoke, what will the ox do? It will be running all over the place, doing nothing. But with the yoke, it helps the farmer to plow the field. It helps the farmer to plant crops and seeds, and in turn, it sustains life. It becomes productive, it bears fruit.
And so a yoke helps you and me to focus, to stay on the mission, stay the course. And when we take the yoke of the Lord upon us, we are not attached to a curved piece of wood. We are attached to the creator of the universe, the living Christ. And the purpose is to draw from him. The purpose is to learn of him. The purpose is to be strengthened by him. Take my yoke upon you, the Lord says, and learn of me. I want you to know this too. When you're yoked to Christ, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Isn't that amazing? When you're yoked to him, all of heaven is on your side. When you join hands with him, you become a formidable force in which no weapon formed against you will prosper. So his yoke is not a burden, but it is a symbol of partnership. And through this partnership, the Lord wants you to learn a few things. How many of you want to learn? What can we learn from this amazing God, the son of a carpenter? What is it he can teach you? Let me list a few. The Lord will teach you how to love, even if someone does not love you. A lot of people, it's difficult to love them. But the Lord will change your heart. He will teach you how to love. He will teach you how to forgive. He will teach you how to overcome. He will teach you how to live victoriously. He will teach you up to look up to heaven and not focus on the perishable things of the earth. Jesus' disciples, not only they called him master, you might remember, they called him teacher. Why? Because they learned so much from him. And I ask you lovingly, what have you learned from him? How often do you pray? How often do you read the Bible? By the way, the Word of God is the gateway to heaven. The more of the Word that is in you, more of Christ is in you, because it was the Word that became flesh. Read the Word, my friends. You can learn a lot of things when you come to him and take his yoke upon you. Friends, Jesus has something to trade with you this morning. The Lord wants your burdens. He wants your sorrows. He wants your sadness. He wants your pain. Stop trying to figure it out. There's no mathematical solution to this problem. You've tried it for a long time and you know it does not work. Instead, give it to him. Give it up to him. Try him. In return, he promises to give you rest for the body and rest for the soul. Maybe you're saying, well, this all sounds great. Preachers have this way of, you know, psyching everybody up. You don't know my story. Yeah, I don't. I don't know your story. Maybe your story is different. But let me say this, the Lord is willing to listen to your story. He listened to the thief on the cross. He listened to blind Bartimaeus. He listened to Zacchaeus. He listened to the lepers who cried out to him. And he's alive and well to all of us from good old Merlin Lake. Yeah. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. So no matter how difficult your life is, I want you to know and believe that God is alive and faithful and he's willing to carry you through. So the future is yours, my friends. You can do with it whatever you will. The choice is yours. You can either go forward in defeat and afraid of everything, or you can go out in faith and confidence, saying, if the Lord is for me, who is it that can be against me? And if things are going well for you, great. Give thanks and rejoice. And if things are not going well for you, still give thanks. Let me say something. You know, if trouble comes to you, something good is happening. Something is good is happening. Because the Lord is always on the side of those who hurt. The closer you get to the Lord, the devil is threatened. He will come to kill your faith. So if you're having troubles, it's a good thing. It's not meant for your harm. It's meant for your good. Let me say this again. God has an invitation to you. The invitation is, come unto me. Come unto me. You may feel like you're walking through the valley of shadow of death, but if God is for you, my friends, who can be against you? Come with your sorrows. Come with your brokenness and trade it out for rest and peace. And then take his yoke upon you, and remember, the yoke is not a burden, but it is a partnership. And you have an opportunity to learn from the teacher. He will show you how to love, and he'll show you how to live. He will also teach you to lift up your eyes towards heaven. I do that a lot. You know why? That's where we belong. That's where all of you belong. Always look up. That is our inheritance. We're made for that place, heaven. I don't know, my friends, how is it that you can turn down such a heartfelt invitation from the Lord? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, how beautiful you are, Lord. Thank you so much for coming down from heaven just to save us, just to carry all of our burdens. Yes, Lord, we are heavy laden, most of us. Things come to us every day. We don't invite them, Lord, but they come to us. Our hope is in you and you alone, Lord. I pray that you will lift all the burdens off these people right now. May they take your yoke upon them. May they learn of you, and may we forever give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.